So it's really good to be back with you all tonight. I'm excited to be here. If you're visiting or you haven't been here in a while, my name is Mallory. And guess what we're talking about tonight? Prophets. Prophets. Very well done. This is actually our last week with the prophets. I'm a little bit sad about it. I know it's been a little bit crazy, but also I feel like it's been really powerful, right? Yeah. Which I think is a pretty good synopsis of who the prophets were. A little bit crazy, also had really powerful things to say from God. So I guess we've done it right. Let me tell you, I am really excited about the next series we have coming up, and Nate's going to kick that off for us next week, so it's going to be really good. And I'm also really excited about tonight. So let me just say a quick prayer for us, and we'll get started. God, we thank you for being here with us, and I pray that you would just help us focus in on what you have to say to us tonight, and that we would be able to just kind of fix our eyes on you and on who you are in the reality of your goodness in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at images from the prophets, and we're talking about what these images mean for us today. And the image for tonight is warfare. Ooh. So the image of warfare actually spans all throughout Scripture, pretty much from beginning to end, and is prevalent in the prophets. But to be completely honest with you all, we're not going to spend a lot of time in the writings of the prophets tonight, because warfare in the Old Testament is kind of drastically different from the situation we find ourselves in today after Jesus has come. So we're going to be in a lot of New Testament texts. But I am convinced that this image from the prophets of warfare applies to us today. So specifically in the sense of spiritual warfare. So because this topic gets like really big really quickly, here's the plan. I am going to lay down some parameters. We are going to talk about some definitions, and then we are going to talk about three responses that we have as the people of God to spiritual warfare. Sound like a good plan? Yeah, great. So about some parameters, about what we're going to be talking about tonight. We are talking about spiritual warfare, not wars between countries. So that is just another conversation for another night. Similarly, we are talking about what it looks like for us as the people of God to fight spiritual forces of darkness, not people. And I want to make this really clear, because when it comes to how we are to relate to other people, we know the kinds of things that Jesus teaches us, which is love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, forgive and reconcile. So tonight we're just going to build on this foundation. And my best friend Val says this phrase all the time, and I think it's really wise. And she says, if it has flesh and blood, it's not your enemy. So that is what we're building our foundation on tonight. We're not talking about necessarily how we relate with people, because if it has flesh and blood, it's not our enemy. Lastly, if we're sitting here tonight and you're hearing me say spiritual warfare, and the first thing you think is the exorcism of Emily Rose, I just want to quickly address that we are going to talk tonight about how the devil is real and demons are real and how they can kind of mess with us. But we talked about last week about how if you have, you know, accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and has taken up residence, nothing else can. And he has kind of claimed you as his own space. So let's get started with some definitions. What is spiritual warfare? Well, for what it's worth, I'm going to give you the Mallory definition that we're going to work from tonight, which is, it is the spreading of God's kingdom on earth and the subsequent resistance from the devil. Okay? Here are a couple of scriptures that talk about this reality. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. I actually don't have it up here, but it's Colossians 1, 13 to 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Also, Ephesians 6, 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, so this is like kind of undeniable. This is a reality that we're in. So let's talk a little bit more about the characters at play here. On the one hand, we have God, all-powerful, all-knowing, creator of everything, sustainer of everything, resurrection and the life. We could really go on about this. For now, we'll leave it there. Devil. Fallen angel. He's a created being who's fallen, rebelled against God. Accuser. He likes to accuse people, us, especially like Christians. Deceiver. Oppressor. Thief. Inhibitor. I think this is a particularly important thing to note. He likes to get in the way of the good things that God's doing in the world through his kingdom. Disruptor, you guys are ahead of me a couple. I saw that happen. Yeah, so disruptor of relationships, liar, and poop face. It's true. So it's just the best summary, really, of what he's about. John 10:10. This is Jesus talking, and he describes the devil this way. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's saying, look, guys, heads up. This is what he's about. Stealing, killing, destroying, just basically wrecking havoc. Again, in John 8:44, I actually really love this passage because if you read a lot of what Jesus says, sometimes he likes to tell stories or he tells parables and he like uses images. And a lot of the times it's kind of abstract because he's trying to get people to think differently about things, and that is effective. Very rarely do I hear him this straightforward, so this is why I like this. I think it's, he's like, I really want you to get this. He says it this way about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Right? I'm like, okay, got it. Liar. Really direct. He really wants us to get that. So this is, he lies to us. So I'm going to go ahead and let you all in on the devil's strategy. He wants to drive a wedge between you and God. He wants to mess up the relationships that we Christians have with each other. And he wants to keep you from spreading Jesus' kingdom in the world around you. That's pretty much it. I just went ahead and gave you his plan. That's the idea. So if you're wondering, okay, in spiritual warfare, have I ever experienced a spiritual attack? Well, have you ever experienced any of these things? Have you ever felt like a negative force outside yourself was doing these things in your life? So oppressing, stealing from you, inhibiting the work you're doing for the Lord, oppressing or lying. Some examples, because I think spiritual attack can look like a lot of things. I have a very good friend who has recurring nightmares that are pretty bad. They are about people that are closest to her being in trouble all the time. And it happens on such a common, it's such a common occurrence that the community around her has kind of, we've gotten together and said, I think this is spiritual attack and we need to pray. Also, one of the big things the enemy likes to do is accuse us of guilt. So Jesus is all the time saying, I'm all about forgiveness and restoration. I'm all about forgiveness. If you confess, I forgive. It's the way I work. The enemy likes to say, you're not forgiven. You should feel bad. You should feel bad about yourself. You should not go to God and ask for forgiveness. You know, does any of this sound familiar? Like, this is something we experience in life from the enemy. So step one for us tonight, the first response that we have to this reality of spiritual warfare is to be aware of it. Just being aware that there is a spiritual reality and that we are in the middle of an ongoing battle. So it's possible that some of you here tonight are thinking, why do I have to acknowledge this? Can't I just go back to not thinking about it? And I understand. I am the queen of denial. My friends will attest to this. If something makes me uncomfortable, I will just pretend it doesn't exist. I just forget that it happened. The problem is that that doesn't work. It's really quite ineffective. So I have a couple examples of why I think awareness is so important. One of them is actually from a scene in The Lord of the Rings. Yes, yes, that's the response I want. and it is when there's a warrior and he's talking to a king and there's this evil army coming into the land and the warrior is trying to warn the king. And he's like, you gotta get your people ready. Bad guys are coming. And the king says, I will not risk open war upon my people. And this is, I think, a really wise line. The warrior says back to him, open war is upon you, whether you would risk it or not. They're coming. The reality is, there is an attack. The second example I have is, I watch this TV show called Bones. Has anyone heard of this? Okay, great. You guys, we should watch movies and TV shows together. I love Bones. They solve crimes, and I think they're really cool. And so there's a really terrible bad guy right now, though. His name's Pallant, and he's the evil mastermind that's a genius in computers and can mess up people's lives. And, you know, the season finale, he messed with everybody, and then he ended up getting away, which is the worst, because he's still out there. And so now we're one show into the new season, and this one character, all this stuff is happening to her. And their response is oh, I'm sorry this is happening. But they apparently cannot hear me screaming at my laptop, it's Pallant! It's the bad guy! They just have forgotten that he's existed, and they're unprepared. And he is having a heyday messing with this character's life because they are not acknowledging that he's around and doing anything. So this is why I think it's important for us to be aware that there's a reality and that there are forces that are trying to mess with us in a negative way. So you'll see I have tactic written up there in parentheses. And the tactic for being aware is what I'm calling survey the spiritual. And basically this just means every once in a while we want to look up and we want to try to put spiritual glasses on and say, what is happening? Now, once a month, I would encourage you to say, what might the enemy be doing? Caitlin, I really appreciated you sharing. Thank you for sharing. And I think that it was really powerful for Caitlin when she realized, oh, the enemy is trying to get me to keep quiet about this so I don't ask for help, right? That's actually a pretty common thing that he does. And I think it was a good turning point to recognize that. So every day, be asking these questions, right? What is God doing? Where is God working in my life? We ask these questions all the time at the Well because we love to be aware of what God is doing. So I want to put most of our focus on that. But occasionally, I would encourage you to also kind of say, what might the enemy be doing and what strategy might he have right now to mess up my relationships with other people, to mess with my relationship with God, to stop what I'm doing for the kingdom. So I know when we talk about spiritual warfare, there is kind of this knee-jerk reaction to kind of feel afraid or a little bit freaked out. And if you feel a little bit freaked out when we talk about this, I want you to know that it's a really normal reaction. But I'm going to give you an alternative because I don't think we have to be afraid. I actually think that is definitely all over Scripture. So instead of feeling afraid, step two is I am going to encourage us to choose to be awestruck by the greatness of God and the glory of King Jesus. So you don't have to be afraid because, first of all, God is so much more powerful than the devil. They're really not even in the same playing field here. Also, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has ultimately defeated all the power that the enemy had. So, reason number two, we don't have to be afraid. And lastly, God is a refuge for us, and we are always safe and protected in his presence, and we can always run to him. So these are all things, hopefully, that can help us choose not to feel afraid and instead to choose to just be awestruck by how great God is. So let's break these down a little bit, because I think this is really important. First of all, I'd like to talk about how much bigger God is than the devil. When we look at Scripture, we do not see this like equal dualism between good and evil. It's not like God and the devil are in this like arm wrestling match and we're watching to see which one's going to win because it's really close. There's actually a passage in Luke where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And I love that image because it's kind of a reminder of, so the devil wants to lead this rebellion against God. This is where he kind of like turns bad. And God's response is, boom, you know, out like lightning. That's how fast and how powerful I am, because this is not a conversation we're having. So the devil is and has never been on equal playing field with God. God is so much more powerful. And then Scripture is also very, very clear that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has defeated all the power of the enemy and has taken all the power and authority in himself, Jesus. So here's a couple of scriptures about that. I'm actually reaffirming the beginning of the one I read earlier because I think it's that good, and then we'll talk about another one. Colossians 1, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Colossians chapter 2, "For in Christ the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is head over every power and authority. He forgave us all our sins, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it all away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through the cross." In Matthew 28, one of the last things Jesus says to his disciples is, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we're starting to get the picture here. Jesus has defeated the devil, and when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom in fullness, the devil will be taken care of for good. I'd like to share a story with you about a friend of mine named Eric. We went on the world race together, so we went to all these countries and we were serving and loving people. And we were in Costa Rica, and he came to our like group. There was a little team of us, and he said, "I am just totally shaken up." And I could tell he was like freaked out about something. And he said, I was trying to pray and I was having trouble kind of getting into it. And then I saw this image. I was on a mountain. I was in my tent, but I was all alone and there was a storm happening and the tent gets ripped away from me and I see this terrifying looking creature and he's saying that he's going to kill me. And you could tell that this just rattled him to the core. Like, he really thought his life was in danger from this, like, picture that he got in his head. It was really scary. So we said, let's pray about this. As we're praying, I really feel like the Lord is leading me to 2 Samuel 22. And so I start just reading this. I did one of those, like we do here. I don't know if this is really, but I think maybe God wants to say this, so I'm going to try it. And I read this, which I think is a great way to approach things. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I have refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you save me. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise and have been saved from my enemies." And this I love because it really spoke directly to what he was feeling. He was really caught up in this, like, I feel like my life is in danger. "The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry." God does not like it when his kids are getting picked on. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came out of his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. I wonder if God sometimes uses lightning on purpose. Like, do you remember that time? The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath from his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. What a picture of God, right? And what my friend needed. He thought that there was this scary thing attacking him, and then he got this vision from God of, like, I am parting the heavens, and I'm coming down to defend you because you're my son, and I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Tactic two for us tonight is praise. In choosing praise. Because praise and praising God, like we experienced in worship earlier, helps us remember how big he is and how in charge he is and how powerful he is. And I also think it does something in the spiritual atmosphere to push back darkness around us. So anytime you feel afraid, ask God to show you his glory for a fresh vision of Jesus. Read scriptures about how big and powerful and glorious God is. And just let yourself be awestruck by his greatness instead. I mentioned that God is a refuge for his people, and this was in this passage as well. And it's really, again, all throughout scripture. I want to read this from Joel, because he's our buddy from the prophets. And he says this too, and I like it a lot. He says, this is Joel 3, 9 through 11 and 16. He says, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war, rouse the warriors, let all the fighting men draw near and attack, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, the earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people Israel. I like a similar term when we talk about refuge, and it's the idea of sanctuary. We all know this word. And I think when we think sanctuary, we think like church, maybe, or holy place. But it's also a political term. Here is the definition of sanctuary. Immunity to arrest afforded by a sovereign authority. So basically, it is a place you can go if someone is accusing you of something, and you can find safe haven there, and they cannot get you. Because a sovereign authority has said that. Jesus has said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So with him, we have that immunity and safety. Nothing is going to harm you or get at you when you take refuge in Jesus. And I think it's really just as simple as, you know, asking him to be near and asking him for help and, or just saying his name even. So we're going to move on to step three. Everybody still with me? We're like marathoning through this tonight. You're doing great. Okay, step three. Use your authority in Christ to fight back. Okay, so I tried to do this thing with A's. I actually make fun of people who speak for doing this, but I think it might be helpful. So be aware, be awestruck, use your authority. To fight back. And again, I'm not saying go out and look for this, and, you know, I'm not saying go out and try to pick fights with evil forces or anything. But I am saying when you think that you or someone around you or this campus in general is experiencing spiritual attack, use Christ's authority, because he lives in you, to fight back and to say, no, Christ reigns in me. Christ reigns in her. Christ reigns on this campus. I'm not going to have it. We get to do that because Jesus has given us all of his authority over these things. The strategy with this is to vocalize. And again, this is why I think, Caitlin, your story was so perfect, because it's about being courageous in the moment to say, I think that I'm experiencing spiritual attack. And I tell you what, that is going to turn it all around. If you can say that sentence to someone you trust, to your community, and recognize that, that's when all the power kind of seeps out of something. I know sometimes, you know, I've been under attack and it's like a specific lie and I'm feeling really bad about something. And as soon as I say, I think I'm being attacked, this is what I'm hearing, it almost sounds silly coming out of my mouth sometimes. Like, oh, yeah, no. Like, I know that's not true. Like, or I have friends, you know, that can speak to me about truth. I really think when we kind of call out the enemy and say, I think this is what he's doing, it kind of loses all of its power. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that in Christ we have divine power to destroy strongholds. And I'm just going to give you like a really simple, like basic how-to in how to do this. So this is the simple tactic. Say like this sentence, in the name of Jesus Christ, this thing has to go or stop. And then I always like to say, and I receive from God something in its place. So that thing goes away, and I receive from God peace or hope or joy or love or encouragement or all these good things that he gives us. So my prayer for us tonight is that we can take these steps and these tactics, these really practical tactics with us tonight. And I'm going to invite us together. We're going to have an opportunity. We always do this, right? We talk and then we say, let's try something together. So we are going to do that in two different ways. So the first is by choosing yourselves to prepare yourself for spiritual battle. And the second is by choosing to fight for our campus and to say, we want this campus to be covered by Jesus everywhere. We want his kingdom and his way of doing things to be the way it is at Ashland, right? That's what we're about. We have talked before about being an outpost of the kingdom. So we have his way of doing things, and we here on campus want to be, to spread more and more and more of his kingdom and relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to talk a little bit to you about this first part, this first opportunity to respond, and then a little bit later, Joe's going to talk to you about what it looks like to fight for this campus. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the band back up as I talk a little bit about this opportunity. In Ephesians, so this is a New Testament letter. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he gives instructions to the church there about spiritual armor. That's nice, right? Because we're talking about we're in spiritual warfare. Armor sounds like a good idea. This passage is also our heart verse for the week. So we're also going to be committing it to heart because that's something we've committed to doing here. So I'm going to read through the passage, and then we are going to have the well leaders come up and be available to pray for you, specifically to like kind of ready yourself to put on the spiritual armor. We're going to pray for the specific things for you. And then as kind of a reminder throughout the week that there is a spiritual reality and that we are protected by God, but that we're in the midst of this thing, we are going to do Sharpie tattoos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is awesome. And we are going to do E6. So it's a reminder of Ephesians 6, a reminder of this passage of the spiritual armor. So when you come up and receive prayer and be blessed by our prayers, you can get a tattoo as well if you would like. So then we're also going to have a time of praise, right? We're going to praise together, and we get to be awestruck by God's greatness. And then, like I said, Joe will talk to you about an opportunity we have to push back against the darkness on the campus. So remember last week I was talking about life-giving power, and I said, yes, it is for you, but it's not just for you. So come and receive it, and then also give it away to other people. This is kind of the same thing. So come and receive, like, empowerment, knowing that God is protecting you and that you have authority to fight back, and then take that out with you and fight for those around you, fight for yourself, and fight for the campus. So I'm going to read Ephesians 6, and I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll go into worship and prayer time. This is Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word tonight and for how it reveals things to us about what we're experiencing in life with you. And I thank you for this image and for kind of opening our eyes to the fact that there is a spiritual war, but that we don't have to be afraid and that we can feel empowered in you and in your power and your authority over all these things. But that we also have this opportunity to kind of stand our ground and to take our ground back. So I pray just for courage for everyone tonight. I specifically pray against any fear that did kind of come into the space tonight, and I just pray instead, God, you would help us really be in awe of how amazing you are. I just keep thinking of that song lyric that says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," and I'm just reminded, Jesus, of how your sacrifice has won the day, and that we can rest assured in that. So I pray a blessing over all of us tonight, and I pray that we would continue to focus in on you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.